At Hello World Essendon Fields, our expert team of corporate and leisure travel consultants have over 40 years of combined experience. We know the travel industry in depth, and it's our priority to get you to your destination at the best price with no fuss. As passionate travellers ourselves, we're here to help you make the right travel choices. You can trust us with all of your travel needs. Come see us at Shop 2A Runway Plaza, 30 English Street, Essendon Fields, or call us on 9097 4850 for all your travel needs.
Preston, Preston, market those.
Speak on the left. Tries it from 40 metres. Oh, what a goal! John Markowski hammers one from 40. What a goal from this young dynamo.
Near post, Zinni. It's in. And again, Warren Speak has a hand in it. Andrew Zinni scores the goal. Not only are the fans winning on the terraces, the team are winning on the pitch. 2 goals in 2 minutes. 2-1 up, Preston Macedonia, and we've got an invasion on.
Roodhouse has made a good run from deep. Still Roodhouse getting that one across. Markowski. That's got to be the settler, surely.
One day we'll be back. One day we'll be back.
And the shot, what a goal! Oh my lord, what a finish there! Absolutely brilliant stuff!
Through ball for Spink. He's in the box. Back for Cole. Cole square. Here's a chance for Smith. Smith, yes, it's there. Spink, Cole, Smith. Smith doing the damage. 1-0.
It's a Thursday, it's 8 p.m. and you know what that means. It's time for the official Preston Lions Club show. The Lions Den here live on FNR Football Nation Radio with me, Josh Parrish, and club historian Chris Terpos in the house. We've also got women's team player Jess Halabi with us. But Chris, Jess, welcome.
Thank you, Josh. Lovely to be here tonight, mate.
We've got a huge show in the offing. Of course, Jess will be joining us to talk about the women's team. We've got men's assistant coach Chris Capone and a past player, a legend, in fact, in Claude Lucchese, who's in the studio. He's in the green room at the moment sharing some wonderful stories. We've just got to get him to slow down a little bit. Save it for the air, Claude. But it's going to be fantastic. So make sure you stick around right until that, you know, last half an hour, 25 minutes, where we'll be going deep down memory lane with Claude. But Chris, let's start first with a little bit of club news, bit of the community notice board, so to speak.
Yes, we'll get some club news underway. Maybe a bit of a lighting update. I know Dave broke the news last episode with the raising of the towers, should we say, which was all very exciting for everyone at the club. But look, the contractors have been back at the club, I understand, doing a bit of manoeuvring with the globe positioning and that sort of stuff. So there's still a few little hurdles to jump through for council, and no doubt some testing and reporting to come before we officially get given the green light to flick the switch, as it were. Hopefully that'll happen in the next couple of weeks. And I think there may even be a bit of an event being planned for when that actually happens, so all the members, sponsors and fans can be there for when we do that, which will be fantastic. The first time that we'll light up Jenna Steele Stadium. Be very exciting, so stay tuned for more news on that one over the coming weeks. And while we're on the subject of the lighting, I thought we might perhaps ask our listeners out there to maybe post some comments on the Facebook live feed tonight, just to get their opinions on when they think we should host night matches. Do we think the Friday night's the way to go, or Saturday, Sunday, even Monday? I remember as an away fan, the Preston fans used to travel out to the Venator Club on a Monday night, so not quite sure what the feeling is amongst the Preston fans as to what night is the way to go. Yeah, so it'll be good to get their thoughts.
I mean, don't underestimate Victorian football fans. I was over at Summer Street last night for the old original Melbourne derby. That was a Wednesday night. It didn't stop the Knights fans partying long and hard into the night with copious amounts of, you know, adult beverages being served at the social club. So just let us know, fans. Do you want to play on a Wednesday? I mean, probably not, but, no. You know, let us know what's your preferred time slot.
All good. Yeah, we might revisit that later on tonight and see what the consensus is. Mm. The chief, he gave me an update with regard to the potential resurfacing of the main ground as well in the off season. Not over the line yet, but I believe it's getting very close. Hoping to get some council budget approval for that very shortly. We might have to ask Chris a bit later on about that, because I think they'd be happy to hear that a bit of groundworks going on with regard to the surface. There's a bit bumpy and patchy in a few areas there, so I think that'll be welcome news to the players and coaching staff on that one. We had the magnificent John Branov interview feature last week, which Dave spoke about, I think, on last week's show. And
yeah,
he obviously posted those videos up on Facebook over the weekend. And have you had a listen to that, Josh, at all?
Sensational stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, I haven't got through all of it yet because it's a long,
it's quite long.
It's a three-part series you had to turn it into.
Four parts, actually.
Four,
yeah,
is it? Okay.
Four. You had to squeeze it into four. But yeah, look, it was fantastic. I was lucky enough to sit in on the side and listen to John speak. And oh, look, I could have listened to him for hours. I actually love listening to him speak about his time at the club.
Magnetic personality, isn't he? And
he's great.
It's some great stories. Fantastic. It's a must listen for, a must watch for all the Preston fans. Dave's done a great job with that, and it was great to have John. I really liked him coming down to the training and the senior players presenting him with a polo shirt, I think it was.
Yep.
It was nice to see that synergy between the current squad and the history of the club as well.
And I had a chat to John afterwards, and he let me in on a little secret. He's got apparently a stash, a box somewhere in the shed with some old videos they used to take of the old interstate games back in the early 80s. So obviously the games, particularly the interstate games for Preston, they weren't telecast on the TV. So one of the committee guys used to go up there and actually film the interstate games and then bring it back, and they'd play it at the social club in the following week. So he reckons he's still got those tapes lurking around at home somewhere. So he's promised me he's going to dig them out and try and get my hands on them and try and convert them if they're in the old Beta or VHS tapes. And hopefully, yeah, we can show that on the Facebook page in the near future, which would be pretty good.
Tell me what, don't tell Ian Sison because he'll be waiting outside John's house. He'll be way too excited.
Very good. Major raffle, just a reminder for those club members and supporters who have ticket books for the club's major raffle. You can obviously still return them with the funds at any of the upcoming home games or training nights. I think we've still got about 4 or 5 weeks until the actual draw, which will be at around 15 home game against Altona City on the 14th of July. So, yep, still plenty of time to get those tickets sold and returned if you haven't already done so. And just a quick roundup of the junior results from the last weekend. We had the under-12 Kangas in a 1-1 draw against the Eltham Redbacks. The under-12 Wallabies lost a 3-2 to the Moreland Eagles. Under-13 A's had a 1-1 draw with Craigieburn City. The under-14 Bs lost 6-0 to Essendon Royals. The under-15 As defeated Thornbury Athletic 3-0. The under-16 Bs lost 3-0 to Upfield. And the under-18 As had a 1-1 draw with Strathmore. So that pretty much rounds out the club news, Josh.
Thank you for that, Chris. Let's get stuck into the women's side of things with Jess Alabi, who's, of course, with us here in the studio. A brilliant result on the weekend. Not only the 3 points, but a clean sheet as well. Yeah. How did you see the game?
Very different. We tried to change up the formation a little bit in both reserves and seniors. So I'll just start with the reserves firstly. Been playing really well lately. Can't just say it's me in the DM position, but all the girls. We've got some experience with one of our co-captains, Amy, playing in the reserves at the moment, and we have a lot of young girls, so to have experience like Amy and as well as Kelly makes a big difference to the whole team, so it's a really positive environment at the moment. The seniors changed up formation, threw Die back in a sweeper and absolutely killed it. We did have a couple sloppy moments, but, yeah, played really well. Amina actually stepped up as keeper.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Never played keeper before in her life, but, yeah, clean sheet and did a really good job. I mean, Lizzie was on the sidelines coaching and telling her when to run out and when to drive for the ball. But, yeah, she smashed it. And I actually think she's playing again this week as keeper again. So that'll be interesting to see. But, yeah.
So our rigging keeper, or was it Rana, I think her name was?
Yeah, so we're friends with Rana from futsal. So she's a futsal keeper. So it's very different, just different dynamics of, you know, techniques and stuff. So she was actually like futsal diving for the ball, and it was, you know, split saves, and but she did a really good job, and we're completely, like, you know, really grateful that she was happy to fill in, and who knows, she'll probably fill in again if someone else can't do it. We don't know. So we'll see Amina this week until Lizzie's back, hopefully in a couple of weeks.
Very good,
she's aiming to get back I think in 2 weeks' time, so that'll be good. Have
and
her back.
And just on the resis, sitting in second spot at the moment.
Yeah, we're second at the moment. Hopefully, a couple more wins will get us up. But yeah, we're doing really well.
And speaking of, you know, the injured keeper, are there any other injury updates? How far is Liz off? Any hints as to when
she... So she has been back at training this week. She's working with Dan, the physio. I think everyone's just trying to get into Dan's office a little bit lately. Sarah also goes by Pig. She's been in and out with an ankle injury, but she's the type where she's like, yep, I'm fine for games. I'll cry about it later, which I don't know if that's a good mentality to have, but, you know, we all do it, so that's fine.
I think I've rarely seen a team sheet without her name on the scoring sheet.
If she's not away, which she has been, she's there, and, yeah, an injury won't stop her unless Luca's like, no, you're definitely not playing. But, yeah, so Liz is back at training. The reserve keeper's also back at training with Liz, so that's good. Otherwise, I don't really think there's many injuries. We have lost our massage therapist, Alan, gone back to the UK. So everyone's really sad about that. So, I just want to say also a massive goodbye to Sav and Alan, our two international players, which, yeah, we're so thankful that they joined us for the few games that they did play. And, yeah, good luck to them.
Yeah, sad to lose them, obviously.
Yeah, very.
They were both great when they came into the studio as well. Yeah. So, obviously, big personalities as well as great players.
Both positive people that we've lost. And I think, sorry to say, Sav, but a lot of people are more upset about Alan because she was there, you know, 2 hours before the game for massages for whoever wanted it, me included. I'm going to probably miss that the most. But, massive, massive loss with those two.
But speaking of the weekend's result, obviously a bit of a change in strategy maybe. You said it mentioned a change in formation. What do you think's been behind? You know, obviously the team's been scoring quite freely but also seemingly shipping a lot of goals. What was the sort of message during the week?
So we had a bit of a chat, the whole team, last week. Everyone was pulled aside. It was bad weather so we all just didn't train and we all had a chat and I think that was a massive turning point in the way that both teams approached the game that weekend. It was just, you know, everyone put their troubles aside, everyone put their issues out in the open and what we all thought was not going our way in the game and what we thought we needed to improve on. And then our coaches came in and we discussed it all with them further. And I think getting that all out and everyone's concerns were just addressed a little bit more than what they have been, you know, previously. I think that helped with the game on Friday night. But otherwise, I think the formation, I think because we didn't have a keeper playing Di as a sweeper, which she probably hated, but, you know, it was much needed for the game. And he just played, I think, from memory, it was 1-3 and then two defensive midfielders, which Alan and Deanna. I think, yeah, just the way everyone played it was just a lot more positive and uplifting and people just wanted to go out and win.
Yeah. That's brilliant. And so 1-0 win in the first team over Oldsiverians. You've got Hoppers Crossing this weekend. Is that correct? Big game?
Yeah. So it's a bit touch and go with Hoppers. They don't have a reserve team, so there's no reserve game this week.
Week off.
Yeah, thank
for
God.
For you.
For me anyway. But, yeah, with the seniors, so it's a bit odd. We don't really know if they have enough players for a team. So, yeah, the seniors are going out there. No rest for anyone. He's picked a full team of senior players. So it'll be interesting. We're expecting big things from the team. Few goals from Claudia DeMarzi, Haley, and we're expecting Juliana to score quite a few because she missed a few one-on-ones with the keeper on Friday night. So I'm hoping she scores a couple on Sunday.
I'd suggest no better opportunity to get that goal difference going in the right direction.
Well, most teams have won about over 10-0 with them at the moment. So, yeah, we'd expect at least the same.
All right. Well,
Big things. My sister can score too if she wants to, but she's not very good at the moment, so who knows.
So you're currently sitting sixth on the ladder, but it's a really tight division. I think 4 points separating you from second spot. Very close rankings in this league, it seems.
So I think we're one win off a second position spot. I think I'm pretty sure Luca was saying on Wednesday that a lot of the top teams are versing each other this week. So we're hoping there's, you know, some upsets and a bit of a ladder change, which would work in our favour. From sixth position on the ladder, we're hoping that we don't go lower than that, but we can only aim up from there. And I think a lot of the girls are pushing to get a top four position at least.
Well, yeah. Huge opportunity presenting itself this weekend, it seems like.
Yeah.
Jess, we understand you're also coaching the under eight, is it the Kangas or the Wallabies?
Yeah, the Kangaroos,
yep.
How's that going? Juliana and I.
How's that going this year?
Yeah, really good.
First year of coaching or?
No, it's my second year. Yep. Did the under sevens last year and moved up with the group.
With the group, yeah.
Completely different. Nick Radecki has made a massive change within the club and the junior program specifically. Absolutely love it. It's not about winning for these kids. It's about, you know, development and trying our best to teach them skills that they can take further. A big thing that we focus on is not goals. It's shots on target for us and for our opposition.
Yep.
So each week, half time, don't care what the score is. We look at, you know, our shots and their shots. And a couple of weeks ago, we had 30 and we only had 2 goals. And, you know, and we learn from it and we count our dive-ins and we count. And it's just, it's completely different. And I actually told Norm tonight, he didn't give me a shout out last week because I'm Maxim's coach, me and Jules. So I told him tonight I'm going to stitch him up because, you know, we deserved a shout out.
How is young Maxim? Now, is he a chip off the old block? Or?
Oh, I reckon he's going to give Norm a run for his money. Yeah, he was smashing it. Even tonight, I had him before I came here. We had training before and, yeah, doing really well. And all of them, they're very passionate little kids. So, yeah, looking good.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you so much, Jess, for coming into the studio, giving us that update. Sounds like a real turning point in the women's season and hoping for a bag full of goals this weekend.
I just want to say, hopefully Dave, our assistant coach, actually shows up. He's been in Port Douglas. So we're really hoping these volunteers of ours actually show up for game days.
Great stuff. No excuses this weekend. We're going to take a short break. On the other side, we'll be speaking to the men's team assistant coach. It's Chris Capone, so don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Lion's Den on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Preston Lions Club Show here on FNR Football Nation Radio. It is The Lion's Den with me, Josh Parrish, alongside Chris Terpos. We're joined now by the men's assistant coach, Chris Capone. Welcome.
Thank you, guys.
It's great to have you in the studio. We asked the fans at the top of the show which night they would prefer to see the night games kick off when we've got those brand spanking new light towers that have been erected in the last week. Friday night seems to be the consensus. We've got a few people wanting Mondays and someone suggesting Thursdays because they work well in the AFL. I'm not so sure about that. But got any thoughts on it yourself, Chris?
Definitely Friday nights. Friday nights I think will be the winner just purely because of how it fits into the schedule. Mm. Bringing in a weekend recovery session as well. The players probably don't know about yet. But, yeah, have to tick off all the boxes. So
I was going to say, with the Saturday and Sunday evening games, or even Saturday day games, there's more of an opportunity, I think, for players to have a sneaky night out and then play the game on the following day. So I think Friday nights, from a coaching perspective, would be the preferred option for that scenario anyway.
Yeah, it's good for us to get a chance to go and look at some other games as well on the weekend. So, we'd be happy with that.
Yeah, very good.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with the transfer window. We had a bit of an update from Louis last week. It seems like one of the big moves, the mystery name coming in on a plane, has actually fallen through, unfortunately.
it has. He got in on the weekend and had a chat. I think Lou had a chat with him and spoke about, you know, just some formalities in terms of training Monday night, what time we start and so forth. And later that evening, I believe he received a text saying that he's had a change of heart and probably couldn't commit to the load that's required coming to Preston, which is fair enough. Personally, I'd probably rather hear it earlier than later.
Yeah.
Yep.
That. So, and then since then, it's fallen through. I don't know if he's joined another club or anything like that. So haven't heard anything yet.
But true to form, I think Lou's already on the prowl for a replacement. There might have even been one or two.
I think in the same text message I received, another clip came through of another player. As opposed to, I get about 10 a day. So
very good.
Yeah.
And I believe Andrezinho has also moved on as well.
Yeah, Andre's moved on,
yep.
Which, it's hard being, in you know State League One where we're at. We've got a big roster. We've got some good depth as well. So you know to get to this point of the year with the quality that we've had, especially you know Andre Zinho coming off the bench, being an A League player in his past. There's a lot of depth there and.
Yep.
Unfortunately, yeah, how long can it last? You
know, yeah, of course.
So we've had that pleasure. He's done well every time he has come off on the bench.
Yep.
He'd always would have been a required player. And, you know, you never know what happens in a week of football. But so far, look, he's explored another opportunity, went about it the right way.
Yep.
And, you know, we wish him all
yeah,
the best.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so. For sure.
Yeah, and absolutely. And like the wingers that have been brought in, you know, some of the younger boys, you know, likes of you, Tellem Joskis and Tineskis have been massive successes off the bat. So, you know, it's been difficult for anyone to break into those attacking roles.
It is. And the beauty about it is any of them can play in any position on the park. And that could be during the game, before the game, some changes during the game. It just depends on where we're at. You know, you look at the goals we've scored. They've come from all areas.
All angles,
From the top four. Front four,
So you enjoyed a bye week over the weekend, so 2 weeks without a game. What's the training actually been like? What's the schedule look like?
Excuse me. Training hasn't changed. So we still had the full week of training. We did the Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Obviously we had the weekend off, but the intensity was still high. We worked a lot in closely more with Joey and Dan, who needed to get some extra Ks into some of the players just to keep their fitnesses up with the guys that have been playing a lot more than others. So we took that into consideration. Just trained normally as we did. Had our sessions like a normal week of training and obviously had 2 weeks to prepare pretty much for the weekend, which should be a big game.
Yep. So speaking of that, obviously you've got Sydenham coming up this Saturday. 3 p.m. kickoff obviously there at Keilor Lodge Reserve.
Yep.
Game of the year, they're calling it, first versus second. Really good chance for us with a win to jump the pack and, create that six-point gap at the top. So pretty much playing for sheep stations, I would have thought, this weekend.
Well, being a Preston every week, sheep stations, mate. So, it'll be a good game. We've struggled
there in the past, the last couple of years. I don't think we've won there the last three seasons or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Not a great surface to play.
Yeah, hasn't been. But look, the boys are prepped with what they need to do and what game plan doesn't change as much. We're strong believers in what we do. We concentrate on what we like, what our strengths are most of the time, and just prepare them, normally for a good game. I'm excited. The boys are obviously excited. You know, the clubs get along, so it'll be a good thing as well. I think we're attending a little function beforehand the game as well.
Yep.
Lou said to me, so that'll be good. All in good fun. But then the game starts, and we'll just strive for 3 points without question.
Can you see the boys sort of take it back to that game against Avondale in the FFA Cup when you know you're coming up against a quality opposition? I mean, just watching that Avondale game, you could see the boys, lifted 20% of what they had done prior to that this season. Obviously a 1-2 game this weekend. Do you think that'll have the same effect coming out against Sydenham?
I think it will. To be honest, we'd like to see that every game.
Yep.
football, there's passages where, you don't. But coming up against quality opposition naturally brings out the best of it, out of you. So, Sydenham are a strong side. They would have done their homework and so forth. The guys, the players will be up for it. They're always up for it. They get equipped with everything they need. So, I think they'll rise to the occasion, definitely.
We expect to have Yip in the squad this weekend, the new signing.
The old new signing. Yeah, Yip will be in the squad this week. We've still got a couple of final probably discussions I need to have on the way home for just to clarify some things and put some things to bed. So a couple of questions we still got over it in the team, that is.
Yep.
Yip will definitely be part of the squad, playing a part. He's come back and he's trained well during the week. He's enjoying it. He's home. Everything's good at the moment for there. So. Yeah.
It must be easy with, someone you already know, integrating him back into the team. I think, as Butker said on the show last week, it's the sausage we've seen before.
Yeah, we'll we'll leave that for, I don't know, after hours. Maybe we'll come back on the radio and I'll
metaphorically talk, speaking, we'll talk, of course.
Mate, Chris, yeah, can you? Can you, you go, mate. You go.
No, but yeah, look, it's good to have Yip back and working with him last year, even though he was out for some time due to injury. We still know exactly what he's all about. He knows what we need, from him, and he's come back in and having that grace period where you need to get the players to understanding the way we want to play and so forth. He's adapted to that straight away, so that really helps.
Chris, I was going to ask, just for the benefit of the fans and listeners out there, can you define your role as the senior assistant coach? What does your typical week look like? Preparation before training sessions, match day, responsibilities. Yeah. Give us an insight into that side of things.
Well, the first thing I need to do every week, the most important thing for Lou, is to make sure that Zhegov's got the meat platter ready for Wednesday night. If that's not there, well, then I'm out of a job.
Big shout out to Zhegov, lovely food.
So... Look, like most coaches, the work starts outside of the training hours. You know, getting to training, putting on the sessions and the game, that's the easy part.
Yep.
Majority of our work starts on the outside of the hours, the Tuesdays, the Thursdays, the Sunday nights after the game or Saturdays and so forth. So my role is to support Lou, and obviously predominantly I become the middleman between HPT boys, Joey and Dan, and yep. Lou. I speak to them a lot, day in, day out, and probably get, you know, essays from those guys in terms of loads and monitoring and all that sort of stuff. And I try to break it down into three words for Lou to say, yep, 1 week or something like that. So, but yeah, he scrolls through things and we all, I don't know, it works.
It works.
It works. Organized chaos, I suppose.
That.
Yeah, my role is, you know, Lou, I'll probably challenge him as much as his lovely wife, Sonia, I'd say. I'm probably his second wife, that's fair to say. If not, I'll probably challenge him more. But he likes a challenge. I mean, you know, we all strive to get the same result at the end of the day. So he gives his opinions on things. I do that on the bench, on the game. He might turn around to the bench and say, Caps, I want to work on this during the week. Something I've seen I want to do. So I'll go back and sort of work on a little bit of a session plan and say, what do you think of this? You know, is this an option what we might do? You know, get into some sort of passing exercise and move into some position games and so forth, and then always finish off with the game and try to achieve what we wanted, whether it's positive, negative, both. We try to, you know, limit what it is and just create those patterns. So I come in there to do that and run all those side of things together, working with obviously Joey and Dan to see what players I've got available with. And, we go from there. The training session takes place. We set it all, everything's, you know, set up prior to training. Lou comes out. We'll start them going through their paces in terms of their warm-up and all that. And whenever he wants to butt in, stop out things, you know, talk to players or whatever he wants to do, he runs the ship from there.
Tell us about the magic that's inside this little black book you keep, this little tactics formations booklet that apparently you keep around with you all the time.
That little black book's just all the old nightclub names from back in the day. Just, you know, little
things you pick up over
like
the years.
Like a Kit Kat is their teddy bear around, you know, that's my little thing. I just might stop and have a look, put a little bit of a scribble down. Yeah, look, I'm a student of the game like we all are.
Yep.
Just love it, live it, breathe it, and just really enjoying football at the moment.
Good stuff.
Is there anything that surprised you about this season in terms of, you know, individual players' performances, the numbers that you know have to translate for Louis? Is there anything that's, you know, stood out to you or surprised you in terms of this,
standout,
this group?
To be honest, has really been having the medical team involved and giving us maximum fitness of players.
Yep.
Just to put it out there, we had the first, you can say halfway through the season, we've had a 97% player availability rate. So that's to be able to have that week in, week out.
Yep, it's phenomenal.
I think to, you know, we're going through more Panadol tablets this year than we ever were, having all these headaches in terms of what players we can start and what not to. And it's hard because, you know, you come to Preston and it's a huge club and there's demands from obviously the fans and people around the club. So
we might have to get our HPT boys down at my AFL team, Richmond, because they're having a Richard run at the moment.
Yeah. So on that aspect, that's probably been the big difference because we've got a lot more control and a lot more available players. So that's what I probably put it down to, the major difference from year on year, from last year to this year. Yeah.
I think we'll leave it there, Chris. Thank you so much for coming in and giving us that insight. it's fantastic to sort of pull back the curtain and see, you know, for the fans, you know, what goes on. You know, obviously, you don't want to share all the secrets in your little black book, but, you know, we do appreciate your
little
time.
Black iPad.
Yeah. We're going to take a very short break. On the other side, we'll be speaking to club legend Claude Lucchese, so do not go anywhere.
You're listening to The Lion's Den on FNR Football Nation Radio.
This is the official Preston Lions Club show here on FNR Football Nation Radio with me, Josh Parrish, and Chris Terpos, my co-host tonight. And in the studio with us is, you know, really a legend of the club, a goal-scoring hero. So many stories from the NSL era. Claude Lucchese, welcome to The Lion's Den.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen, and thank you for having me.
It's fantastic to have you on the show. So much to talk about. Chris, where do we start?
Where do we start, mate? Well, we might just ask you quick. You were born in Cairo, in fact.
I was born in Cairo, perhaps in the last couple of centuries ago. I'm not too sure exactly what that age was back then. But, yeah, I was born in Cairo. I was only there for 3 months. My parents happened to be there at the time, and then we migrated back to Italy, where I was there till the age of 8.
And then moved to Australia?
Then moved to Australia,
with the folks. So tell us a little about your junior career in football. Was it Waverley you played as a junior, I think, I read?
Yeah, so when we came here, actually I may add to that story that, you know, in the 8 years that I lived in Italy, you weren't allowed to play in the park with the ball. You were confiscated the ball. So my only experience as a young kid playing soccer was getting a paper ball, wrapping it up, and playing in the lounge room when my parents are having a siesta, which really wasn't a good idea at the time. But when we came to Australia, it was then a different story altogether. You know, seeing all these open fields and being able to play soccer was just bliss for us, my brother and I. Then we joined a local club called Waverley, where I would have been about 9 or 10 and playing in the under-14s because that was the only, you know, age bracket that they had back in those days. And progressed from there. I think when I got to the age of about 14 and left the under-14s, I was now turning 15, there was no one, or there was an under-16s at Waverley, but the senior coach there wanted me to play with the seniors, and I was quite surprised he didn't want me to play in the reserves, so I stepped straight into the seniors as a 15-year-old, and that was really something special in the second division where you've got pretty rough sort of fullbacks, and I was a bit of a winger back then. So that was a real baptism of fire.
And it was about 1972 that you made the move over to Brunswick and made your, well, I was going to say senior debut, but you obviously played your senior debut with Waverley, but state league debut, shall we say, with Brunswick.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Yeah. So we, my brother and I were both bought from Waverley City to go and play for Juventus at the time. And it was a strange induction to my career because obviously we were there still pretty much young. Juventus in the glory days were back in the 70s. This was 72. So they still had probably half the team that they had back then, but it was still an amazing team. And I got to play half a game of football in the actual season. We didn't finish all that well that year. And then there was a Doherty Cup that actually started straight after the season had finished. And the club didn't really have the money at the time to pay all those big-name players the normal salary, so they decided that they would put it to the players who wanted to play, they would play for gate money only. So perhaps we had a fallout of two or three players, but that left the opening for my brother and I, and we both then were straight into the first team. So my first year in the state league back then was playing in a Doherty Cup in the seniors, and believe it or not, we went all the way and won it, even though we had finished eighth that year. So the first year of my senior career, I ended up wearing a medal, the Doherty Cup medal, which is probably one of the highlights of my career.
Still got it at home?
I sure do.
Very good.
So how old were you then when you won it?
16.
16. Yeah. Wow. And what was it like coming up against, you know, hardened professionals at that age? Semi-professional.
To answer that question, I'll tell you the story of the semi-final, because we, you know, Doherty Cup's a knockout, so we played two or three games leading into the semi-final. Then the semi-final was against a team called Footscray JUST. Now, for people who are my age bracket and are listening to this story, would know that JUST back in those days had all international players from back in Yugoslavia.
Yep.
They had kept their team from the 1970, which was really rivaling Juventus in the 1970s. Those two teams were at their best. But we weren't no longer at our best, but they still were. They still maintained the same team. So we played them in this first game, and I remember talking to my brother at halftime, sitting next to each other. I said, "Did you touch the ball? Because I haven't." All we did was run around trying to get a hold of these players. And they were talking, obviously, in their own language, and we couldn't understand them, but boy, were they gifted. They were leading 2-0 at halftime, and I don't know whether they took pity on us or not, but we scored a goal in the first 10 minutes of the second half. Us young kids all lifted, and then my brother scored the second goal, and then eventually we scored the third goal, which I still claim from my brother that it was my goal. He's claiming that it's his goal. But anyway, we ended up winning 3-2, which was just an incredible feeling, really, beating a team like that that I had gone to watch for many years, probably leading into that year.
Phenomenal.
Well, fast forward, you spent the better part of about 7 or 8 seasons with Brunswick, so you're already a seasoned veteran by the time you arrived at Preston. Tell us about the circumstances that led to your arrival at Preston.
Yeah, we're right. Well, probably I think it was a year or 2 years before I joined Preston. I think it was a year before I joined Preston that the national team was formed, and that was on the basis of the first 4 or 5 clubs from Victorian League that actually went and formed part of the A-League, or I should say the National League. Juventus wasn't one of those, and we were on the slide in terms of our performance. So I wanted to join like every other player did, but most of the teams that made it into the National League were looking for offshore players. So I wasn't one of them, so I didn't make the grade. So my only other option was then to look at a team that was definitely going to get promoted, and that was Preston. So I aimed Preston, and I approached them at the end of the year. That year I won the best and fairest at Juventus, and I approached them, and I just said, "Look, do you want to have a look at this?" And they agreed, and I joined, and I was extremely happy. And my forecast that we would win the league and get promotion was spot on.
Yeah, exactly.
What are your memories of playing? You know, you would have played against Preston quite a few times before you moved there, right? So what are your memories of playing against them?
Yeah, a certain Gordon Flavell. I don't know if you would remember him. Gordon, if you're listening, I want to tell you this story. I was playing for a Juventus at the time, and it was probably one of the bloodiest games of soccer that I've ever been part of. They ended up winning 1-0, and Gary Ward scored the goal. But in the first 5 minutes of the game, our captain went up, and he ended up getting a big gash in his eye, and he was taken off to hospital. So we're one man down. Just before half time, our striker had collided heads with a Preston striker. And Preston, both were on the ground. The Preston defender got up, but our striker ended up going to hospital with a fractured skull.
Right.
Believe it or not. And to make matters worse, in the second half, now we're down to only 2 substitutes, as you could have in the second half, and our coach was the next boxer. And he looked, and I ended up getting scraped on the shin, no shin pads back in those days, by a certain Gordon Flavell. I went to take the corner because the ball ricocheted to a corner. I looked down at my sock, and there was a spurting blood going onto my sock, and I went, "Oh my God, I've got to get this scene to." By this stage, our physio was getting a coronary. He couldn't believe that we had so many players out. He says, "You got to come off. You got to get stitches." And I went, "I'm okay. Just strap it." And our coach goes, "Sure, you're okay. Just stay on, stay on." Anyway, so that was my introduction to Preston Macedonia that first year.
So you decided you wanted those guys on your team.
Yeah, I thought I'd better having Gordon in my team than against, that's for sure.
Well, speaking of which, I think You played with your socks down your entire career?
Pretty much until it became, you had to have it. You had to have your shin pads, and you had to have your socks up. So right up until then I did. I don't know. I kind of just felt the freedom of not having socks around my calves has been, something that I was used to. It was no other reason. But, when I look at my shin these days, I probably wish I hadn't have made that decision.
Well, obviously a fantastic year in 1980, as we said, the club winning the Victorian State League. Also took out the Victoria Cup final against South Melbourne at the end of the year that year. So it was a state league up against a national league team in South Melbourne. And I think we won that game with a pretty young squad because quite a lot of the more seasoned players had finished up the year and headed back overseas for a few months. Do you remember? I'm pretty sure you played in that game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I played as well. I don't have a vivid memory of that game, but I remember that we were on such a high for winning the actual league. And I know that Croatia was our arch rivals back then, that we were still celebrating winning the league and knowing that we were going to get promoted.
Yep.
And I think that game was just a token additional trophy, I think, at the end of it. But, yeah, look, I think there was nothing but good memories that particular year.
Yep. So 81, we were admitted to the NSL. Any recollections of just the feeling around the club, the supporters, the excitement of this, you know, Macedonian club from Reservoir getting admitted to the National League?
Yeah, look, I probably was, as a player, you sense the extra support that you were getting on match day. There's no doubt about it. But the part that really took the players, I think, it was just that air of didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't know what to expect on the field, and I think our focus was so strong on the field. We kind of really embraced the supporters across the road in our clubhouse after the games, and that was really something that was really nice back then. But yeah, I think at first it was almost like a boxer going in the first round and trying to feel your way, feel your opponents out. And that's what it was like probably for the first six or seven games.
Yep. Actually, one question I wanted to ask was, obviously coming from the state league where obviously you're only playing opposition within your own state, to then all of a sudden be confronted with the travel involved of playing against interstate teams, and obviously most players had full-time jobs at the same time as well. What was that transition like of managing and juggling all that?
Wow, it was just bizarre because at first, probably the first half the season, the trips were still an exciting venture.
Yep.
After that, it became really laborious for the reason that you just mentioned, because not only are you disturbed with your normal routine of playing because you're playing away from home, you're staying in hotels, you're doing all that sort of stuff, you're not eating the normal food that you would eat before a game, but it was just getting off the plane at 10 o'clock at night and getting into your car and driving home, getting home at midnight and having to get up and go to work the next day. So all of a sudden the glory part of that was quickly out of question. And probably, once again, it depended who you sat on the plane with as to what state you arrived back in the Tullamarine. I don't know if you remember there, but Dougie Brown was certainly one that you didn't want to sit two legs on a plane coming back from Brisbane to Sydney, Sydney to back to Melbourne. Didn't want to do that because there was no such thing as ordering one drink. He would order three from the hostie at the one time. By the time you landed in Sydney, I don't think you could find the plane unless somebody escorted you onto the plane. But and that too was something that happened in the early days and it quickly wore off as well.
Yep. Well, I was going to say that more or less probably mirrored Preston's introduction into the NSL, because the first 2 years, 81, 82, was probably largely a settling in period for the club. Come 1983, a couple of new additions, big name additions to the squad, probably led by the great Zarko Ajarkov. What can you tell us about Zarko from your time there?
Oh, he was a legend. There's no question about that. If I was to look at all the imports, and I did mention some of the players that I played against when I first started playing soccer, and they were legends too. But if I had to really put my finger on who I felt was the best import that ever came to the country, who I had the pleasure of playing alongside him, it would be Zarko. He was an under-21 player for Yugoslavia, and you think he came here when he was 23. So he was still absolutely at his prime, and boy, did it show. He was the most gifted player with both feet that I've ever seen. Absolute pleasure to play with.
Yep.
And you were on fire that 83 season, you know, at least early on, scoring left, right and centre. And then, you know, speaking of the work commitments, I think there was a rather controversial trip overseas that took you away from the squad.
Yeah, we won't talk too much about that particular trip, but yes, that's absolutely correct. I started off the season really well. I'd scored the majority of the games. I think I was leading goal scorer at halfway during the season, but in the competition. And then this trip came along, which was something that I opted to take, contrary to what the club wanted me to do.
And let's just set the scene here. We'd been sitting on top of the league for probably half the season at this point.
Yeah, we were leading the competition, and I was scoring a goal a game basically at that time. left for 10 days, but that took me out of the game for two games when I came back. And it was offshore. It was to America, to a number of spots in America. When I came back, it was amazing, the fitness that you lose over that 10 days. And it really did take me a good, four, five or six games to get back into the groove again, which and I was never really been able to find my goal-scoring form again, which also led to Preston probably not moving on and winning the championship.
Yep. I mean, the wheels sort of fell off a little bit when you came back, but you still had the chance to win the league. Was it last day of the season? You were still in the hunt?
Yeah, it was. We picked it up towards the end of the season and got back to our winning ways, and then we were actually top in the last round to play. You know, the teams that were really at the top was us, then it was Sydney City below us, and then it was St George, two other Sydney teams. Now, the two Sydney teams were playing at home, and we were playing in Sydney against Sydney Olympic. And we never really did well whenever we played in Sydney. We did okay, but not exceptionally well. So that was a really tough draw for us, but we ended up dropping that game, and the other two teams won it, so we ended up finishing third. But it was unfortunate that we really couldn't find that winning formula on that last day. Otherwise, it would have been a premiership for Preston, which would have been amazing.
Yep. Well, 1984 was your final season at Preston, and a lot of new players came to the club that year, but some big names: Robbie Dunn, Graham Hayes, Gary Cole, Sean Lane, Ian Dobson. Already coming from a good team, obviously nearly taking out the National League the previous year, and then these guys came along obviously to boost that squad. But unfortunately, we missed out on the finals. That game, I think, on the last game of the season against, I think it might have been a Brisbane City, I think. We had a home game and needed to win that, but could only draw. Any memories of that 1984 season?
Yeah, look, I mean, when I look at that team and you look at all those players we brought into the team, there's some amazing players there, really, really good players. It really shocked me how we weren't able to take it to that level, to the next level. But sometimes when you do bring in more than one or two players, you can have the team really readjusting itself. And it would have taken us most of the year to readjust, and that's probably why. I mean, I remember some great results that we had with that team, but one of which we might mention. But
yes.
but overall, yeah, it was disappointing we just didn't really finish on top, because on paper we deserved to be.
I think I've got a little bit of audio here that might jog your memory about a particular performance of yours from that campaign. Let's have a listen.
Knocks it back to Ilioski, back again to Pohl. Now here comes Ocharkov. And Lucchesi off the post. And in. Dobson. Claude Lucchesi makes it 2-0. A flash. And another one from Lucchesi. That's his hat trick. And Ocharkov. Lucchesi in the clear. Lucchesi on the ball now, facing the goalkeeper. Can he make it 4? He goes around him, and he does. Claude Lucchesi, sensational. 4 goals for him, 4 goals for Preston.
That's you scoring 4 goals in I think it was a 5-1 win away to West Adelaide. Do you remember the game well?
It's a home game.
Well, it was at home. I remember the game.
Home, sorry.
Yeah, if you have to remember one game in your life, that has to be one that you score 4 goals in, which, by the way, at the time was the league record.
Oh, right.
Yeah, after that it was passed by. But, yeah, at the time it was. And I'll just add some meat around that particular game. You may not know this, but I was elected by Arok, the coach, to be playing in the Australian team 2 weeks earlier, went on camp, couldn't carry on with me being on camp because of work commitments again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually dropped out of the side the week leading into this game. So it was fairly pleasing for me to sort of send a message to Arok about that particular game. It's not often you get the score. I just happened to be on the right end of them at the time.
I mean, that must have been, quite a special group of players. Obviously, results didn't quite, go the way over the course of the season, but capable of great things when you all clicked together.
Yeah, as that game showed, and I think we did. We had that sort of team that you knew if everyone played to their best that we would be unbeatable on the day. We just didn't always put it together on, because that game would show that we would be world beaters, like 5-1 scoreline in soccer is fairly rare, but... but yeah, we would go out next week and we would play away from home and we'd, we'd have an average game.
Question without notice, Claude. If you could pick a starting 11 of Preston players that you played with from your time, who would you include in that 11?
Oh, you're asking me to name 10? Including,
yep. Including yourself, yeah. You've got to be in there yourself,
yeah,
of course.
You've got to get in there.
Look, I would stick with a team that did really well in 83.
83, yep.
You know, so George McMillan played really well at the back there, and I think Peter Ollerton was also sweeper at the time. We had Lubia Petroski that was also great on the left. On the right, not too sure who would probably fill that spot, but I think I'll probably go back into the really early days who I thought was a great fullback. It was Rainey. I don't know
Mickey
if you remember
Rainey.
Mickey
Rainey. Certainly.
You know, he was great, even though he wasn't in our glory days.
Yep.
In the midfield, right, well, the midfield general would have to be Zarko or Jarko. Yep. And then you would have to have Gordon Favell only because of his hardness.
Yep.
You know, he was great with his hardness.
And the partnership up front of Claude and Gary Ward?
Claude and Gary Ward would have to be the all-time partnership, absolutely. But, you know, but you would have also players maybe back there like Sean Lane or even Spinksy, who was a great player. He was playing mainly at striker, but they could fit into the midfield. I was also playing between striker and midfield as well, so we could alternate. But, yeah, there were some good players towards the end as well.
And a young Kyle Nopasinas would have been coming through at that stage as well.
Yeah.
Met him on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well, Kyle actually probably would be the right back position for me. I mean, sorry, Mickey, I'd probably go for Kyle Nopasinas. Yeah, he was still very young when I was playing alongside him, but he just continued to improve all along. He was great.
Are there any stories you remember from those players that you shared a pitch with? There would have been a lot of, you know, big egos in that dressing room, would have thought.
God, I don't know whether this radio station is here or any of those sort of stories, but, you know, clean stories. I don't know. I think, I mean, one of the most pleasant thing about being a footballer at a reasonably high level is you get to spend a lot of time together. And some of the away trips that we had and some of the bond that you've formed with your teammates and some of the laughter that you have in the dressing room is from somebody just throwing a line out and somebody else taking the bait and throwing it back. There are so many numerous stories like that. And then of course, you continue on with that friendship. I'm still very close to some of the players, particularly Gary Ward, who still comes down. So he still maintains that we were the most lethal strikers in the whole nation. I wouldn't go that far, but, you know, I think we did a pretty good job. But, you know, he takes it to another level. So, yeah, I think just the stories that you have amongst players that are really great.
What about the atmospheres when, you know, Preston in the National League, the fans? Are there any particular games you remember with, you know, sensational atmospheres or the celebrations afterwards?
Look, every game you played at Preston, there would be 99.9 Macedonians and there would be the occasional one person who dared to come to the ground who wasn't Macedonian. So effectively, you would always get a very, very strong backing from the supporters. It didn't matter whether it was 3,000 or 5,000. They were always so loud and very passionate. So you always felt that, and the ground was very closed in. You didn't need a grandstand. They were just right up against the fence, and you just felt the vibration every time you scored or did something well. So, yeah, those memories never go. But I will tell you a story of when we played, because you may or may not remember that Sydney City back in those days was star-studded. They probably had about six or seven of their players that actually played for Australia, including John Kuzmina. And to beat them was near impossible with the sort of team they had. But one year we played them at Connor Reserve, and I remember beating them 4-1, which was a fantastic result to begin with. But the story that I want to tell you was how passionate our supporters were. Not only were we winning at the time, and they should have been happy, but George McMillan decided to collide with John Kuzmina and just take him out of the field with one of his famous tackles. And John Kuzmina went landing, rolling, and back up against the little fence. And as he's fallen back against the little fence, he's looking at the referee to see if it's a free kick. In the meantime, probably about 20 of our supporters decided to give John Kuzmina a bit of a shower. Which, to my astonishment, he did not move from the fence, but rather he pointed to the referee and said to the referee, "Look what's happening." The referee was saying,
"I'm not going anywhere.
Why are you there? Come back on the ground." So if you're talking about atmospheres, no place would you rather play than a Preston if you're a Preston player. Yeah. If you're not a Preston player, you dare not go there. They were the glory days, and hopefully one day we'll get them back.
Absolutely. Well, will you be coming down to a game at BT Connor, Janice Steele Stadium, anytime soon? Because I'm sure the fans would love to see you there.
I promise a friend of mine who I work with, who's a passionate supporter and does go to most games, that I will go with him to a game. So, yes, you will see me there.
There'll be no shortage of drinks on offer for you there, Claude.
Yeah, you might get a shower like John Kuzmina if you're not careful. An affectionate one, though.
I'll remember to bring my umbrella.
Very good.
Fantastic. Claude, thank you so much for coming in, sharing those stories here on the Lions Den. Really do appreciate it. And, you know, it's great to keep these memories living on.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you,
thanks,
guys.
Claude.
That's our show for tonight. It's been the Lions Den. Make sure you get down to Keilor on the weekend. Huge first v second away game. It's going to be massive. 3 p.m. kickoff. Hope to see you all there. But until next week, it is goodbye for now.
Preston, Preston, Mark Kiddo.
Speak on the left. Tries it from 40 metres. Oh, what a goal! John Markowski hammers one from 40. What a goal from this young dynamo. Near post, Zinni. It's in, and again Warren Speak has a hand in it. Andrew Zinni scores the goal. Not only are the fans winning on the terraces, the team are winning on the pitch. 2 goals in 2 minutes. 2-1 up, Preston Macedonia, and we've got an invasion on.
Roodhouse has made a good run from deep. Still Roodhouse getting that one across. Markowski. That's got to be the settler, surely.
One day we'll be back. One day we'll be back.
And the shot, what a goal! Oh my Lord, what a finish there! Absolutely brilliant stuff!
Through ball for Spink. He's in the box. Back for Cole. Cole square. Here's a chance for Smith. Smith, yes, it's there. Spink, Cole, Smith. Smith doing the damage. 1-0.
Come on, Preston.